on the line with us this morning, Christopher Hahn. He's a political commentator, he's a Democratic Party activist, and a Fox News contributor. Christopher, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
It's a damn shame we don't have a thing to talk about. But let me try to drag something off the top of the news desk. One of the things, of course, about the impact of the Florida shootings last Wednesday, one of the questions is, because of all the uproar that has been present across the country, will the impact of those shootings hurt the GOP?
It could. I mean, if the GOP refuses to act in the mass interest of the United States, look, 95% of Americans support stronger background checks, and 75% of Americans support banning assault weapons like the ones used in that massacre last week. So it's time for the GOP to stop answering to the constituency of one, which is the NRA and Wayne LaPierre, because they're really not about gun rights and gun owners. They're about gun sellers. They want to make it easier to sell guns so that the gun manufacturers can make bigger profits. And they've basically been their industry's rep, and they disguise themselves and wrap themselves in the Constitution. But that's not really what it's all about. I mean, even Justice Scalia wrote that you can have reasonable restrictions on firearms under the Second Amendment and be consistent with the Constitution. And he was no weepy liberal.
Well, 2018 is going to be very interesting, and it was before this ever happened, but it certainly will be when you combine, you know, the sentiment about gun control that's present in the country right now, and especially, as I've been saying, you know, the voices of the students, which are making such an impact and maybe a different outcome because of that. And how tough will it be between the Trump factor and this issue for the Republicans that are up for re-election this year?
Well, it seems like the demographics that are fired up to vote this year don't favor Republicans. If there's like a 5% uptick in 18 to 21-year-old voting across the country, it's doomed for the Republican Party this year. That's a voting block that generally votes in high numbers for progressives and Democrats. So if they come out in greater numbers in a midterm election, which usually has a smaller turnout, you're going to see some serious flippage around the country. Combine that with Pennsylvania's redistricting map, which might cost them as many as 5 seats already. And it's really going to be an interesting year as far as, you know, you got 32 Republican members of the House retiring as well. I don't know. All roads seem to point towards a Democratic wave coming in November, which, look, part of it has to do with Trump, and maybe Trump makes that wave bigger and stronger. But this is what happens in elections.
Yeah,
you know?
it's cyclical, isn't it?
Yeah, cyclical. And when the president generally loses seats during his first midterm election, this president's going to lose seats during his midterm election. If he loses 26 of them, he's going to lose the majority.
And so on another subject, Christopher, well, the indictments continue. Another one being handed down this morning by Robert Mueller. This Russian investigation has legs, and it seems that there's no expiration date for it.
No, there's no expiration date for it. And I think you've seen from the president's tweets over the weekend that he's very concerned about it. And he probably should be, because people close to him, look, people close to him are definitely caught up in this. And had this been Hillary Clinton's former campaign chairperson under indictment, you know, Hillary Clinton's former advisor basically being under a FISA warrant, we would have heard voices from the right going nuts. We would have seen congressional hearings after congressional hearings. Yet here we are with a Republican Congress that has basically been lapdogs to this president. It is amazing to me. They have abdicated their responsibility under Article 1 of the Constitution to be a check on the presidential power.
Yeah, that's, as I said, it is not going anywhere. Were you surprised that Trump endorsed Mitt Romney for his Senate seat?
Politics makes strange bedfellows,
yeah.
Doesn't it, right?
Yeah, everything old is new again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My enemy is my enemy until he's my friend.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good politicians usually are transactional. And I'm surprised that this president isn't more transactional. He should have no real allegiance to anyone You know, he didn't really get the Republican support until he already overtook their party and they had no choice. So the fact that he has been so loyal to groups like the NRA and the far right reaches of his party, which, you know, is not really who he's been most of his life, is surprising to me, which is why maybe, just maybe, there's a glimmer of hope that he might do the right thing and come up with some sensible gun regulations, because there's so many people calling for it, and he really should have no allegiance to anybody who's against it.
And I know you don't have a Christopher, you don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, we're not that far away from 2020. So I just thought it would be interesting to ask you, Christopher, you've got your hand all over the
right
place when it comes to politics. What are we looking at in 2020? You know, Joe Biden sort of, you know, kind of hanging out and dipping his toe in that sort of thing. But what are your expectations at this point about who's going to run in 2020?
Well, I think you're going to have a huge field on the Democratic side. You're going to have, you know, people like Kamala Harris from California. I know we're on California right now.
Yeah.
We'll probably throw our hat in. Look, I'm a big fan of Jerry Brown. When I was in college back in 1992, I was a supporter of Jerry Brown's. And I would love to see Governor Brown, who I know is older, but I'd love to see him run. I think he's
done
a great job.
Do you really think he'll run for president?
I would love to see him run for president.
Why?
Look, I mean, he's not that much older than the president.
Yeah, I know.
So why?
Yeah.
And he seems to be in much better shape than the president. So
yes.
I don't understand why we're ruling him out.
Well, he would, if that were true, and even if he won, I mean, talk about your comeback stories.
Yeah.
Wow. Jerry Brown would be it. Yeah.
It would be fantastic, and I think he'd be a fantastic president, frankly. You know, he gets this reputation of being a liberal, but he's really a pragmatist, a progressive pragmatist. And I would love to see Jerry on the national stage one more time.
Well, that would be something to talk about. There's no question about that. What about Bernie Sanders?
I am a never Bernie guy. I think that Bernie Sanders did more to damage the elections and help elect Donald Trump than almost anyone. And I think that Bernie really is not what he seems to be. And quite frankly, I think the Democratic Party has a much deeper bench than Bernie Sanders. And if it's not going to be Jerry Brown, I want to see somebody from another generation run for president.
Yeah, that would be sort of a novel approach. And aside from Kamala Harris, who, by the way, yes, she's, you know, from the Bay Area and we're, you know, just north of San Francisco. She was here a couple of times because of you know, just after the terrible wildfires that we suffered
right
in October. And I know it's California, but still, I have to tell you that of all the political leaders that came here, you know, with commitment, promises, and certainly, you know, trying to get federal dollars for our recovery. When she stepped up or walked onto the stage or whatever, you would have thought it was Springsteen in the 80s making their way to the stage.
I
by
mean,
the reaction.
She's got that something, right?
Yeah,
you know, and not everybody has it. And you can't teach it and you can't grow it. So, and you know, to get elected president these days with this being a media-driven, you know, political world we live in right now, you got to be able to communicate with people. You got to be able to connect with people. You got to have a little bit of star quality.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris, without a doubt, has it.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think it seems even more noteworthy in California because a lot of folks have been talking about Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein, both power brokers in Washington. But
right.
A lot of people say under the age of 40 or even 50 are saying maybe it's time for those folks to move on and leave room for somebody new to come in.
Well, you know, there's got to come a point in time where we break with the past.
As long as we feel the same way about men, because there's a lot of old men in Washington, Christopher.
Well, I feel that way about Bernie Sanders. Time for him to go. He's been in Washington for over 30 years. Time to go. I you know, you don't hear me out there saying, let's get Joe Biden in there. I do want to see a next generation. And frankly, I'm not impressed with the way the baby boomers governed. And maybe it's time for all the baby boomers to go.
Oh, spoken like a young man. Spoken like a young man.
Spoken like a Gen X.
All right.
About
okay.
10 years, the millennials will be saying that about me.
Okay, then then surprise me, Christopher. I get the attitude. So surprise me with some names that may jump into the fray. Some new names that have what it takes to really make an impact nationally over the course of the next 2 years.
Well, don't overlook a guy like John Hickenlooper from Colorado. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a very interesting story to tell. I think he's done a great job in Colorado, and I think Colorado's been a laboratory for a lot of things that are going to happen nationally, including the legalization of marijuana, and I think it's been very successful there, and I think it's a very popular issue, especially among people, millennial and Gen X voters.
Okay, give me one more before we have to go.
I'm dropping her name, but the governor of Oregon, who has done a great job, and I'm forgetting, I'm very embarrassed.
Okay, we'll look her up.
But she's one that you should watch too. I think she's the first openly bisexual governor in the state in the nation, and she's done a fantastic job up there. And
well, it's going to be an interesting rollout. I got to cut you off there, but Christopher, great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.